There we go. Good morning. I trust that you are all well. I just want to write something down. There's a message that's percolating, if that's the right word, not for next week, but for the week after. And that's unusual for me, so I'm just going to write something down. For those that are listening to the recording, no, I'm just silent. There we go. If I don't write things down now, I forget them. Are you the same? Or is it just me? Just me. Thanks, Nigel. It's good to be balanced out, isn't it? I wasn't going to say anything about a message that's going through my heart for not next week, but the week after. But I will do. So often in church life, we read scriptures that speak about God's manifestation, speaks about healing, speaks about wholeness. And on a weekly basis, we get prayer requests, yeah? And maybe you do. You get somebody, a family member or a neighbour or a fellow Christian that will say, would you pray for us? Would you pray for me? Would you pray for this situation? And so often we can gloss over that and go, yes, we will. And we do, I'm sure. But there are times where I think it's good as a corporate body to be able to pray one for another. And there's a message that I want to share with us in a week or two's time. I think, Emma, is it Father's Day? Yeah. So that day. So prepare your hearts and let's see what God says to us for that day. And for today, there's the title of this is, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And we've got it here in, I was going to say black and white, but in green and yellow and pink. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And let me read what Paul says here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile, the rest of the world. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And if we go up at the beginning of this letter and we read about Paul, we look at what he says and we understand a bit about his call. In verse 1 of Romans 1, Paul, it says, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And we've been told today it's a day that many Christians will celebrate as Pentecost. But every day is Pentecost, isn't it? In the sense that the Spirit of God, the Bible says, lives in us, yes? So the power of God lives in us. The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's good news, isn't it? And we can lose sight of that so often, I think, when we're going through the day-to-day routine of life. There's times where things seem to be like you're walking through treacle sometimes. There seems to be no end to it. But that's just the world we live in. That's just the time we are in. But praise be to God, we have scripture that will encourage us, that will lift us up out of the mire, that will enable our feet to be on straight street. The high things, Bible says, will be brought low and the low things will be brought high. So God gives us that straight street, that even road to walk upon. Paul says that he's a servant of Christ Jesus. And that's us, isn't it? We are called. We are servants. Apostle. We've been sent to minister good news. He says in verse 2 here, the gospel he promised beforehand through the prophets in his holy scriptures. Now we have to understand here that Paul was a scholar as well as a transformed man. Used to be Saul. Saul used to go around persecuting the way. The way was the name for the church, for us, for Christians, those that followed Christ. And he would be passionate, wouldn't he, about persecuting the way. About persecuting this new sect of people that seem to put their trust in a Messiah that Paul knew nothing about. However, after the scales fell off, he could see. And we understand when the Bible says, once I was blind, but now I see. Because it happened to us, didn't it? There was a time where we couldn't see what God was saying. And then when we accepted through the gospel that Paul is talking about here, something that had been revealed to humanity from the beginning of time right until now, he didn't see it, but then he did. We didn't see it, but now we do. That's the gospel. That's the power of the transformation of a renewed mind. He says it was already there in Scripture in 3 regarding his son. So we're talking about Jesus Christ, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David in verse 4, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the reason I'm reading a portion of Scripture and then going up to the beginning of this letter is because context is a lot that we have to grab hold of, because we can just pluck a verse out of the Bible and we can just run with it. I asked Mike a while ago to bring something on the Old Testament law. And so often when we listen to the Old Testament law, we can think, yeah. But you know what? The New Testament grace doesn't come into effect unless we understand the Old Testament law, yes? Unless we understand the bad news, the good news won't be good. Does that make sense? Unless we know which way is up, we won't know which way is down. Left, we won't know which way is right. So for Paul, what he's saying is this: I understood what it was to be anti-Christ. I understood what it was to live a lie. Now I know what it is to live the truth. And the reason I'm bringing it to us as a church, because I want it to be the same for us, where we can look at this portion of Scripture and say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because there are times in some of our lives, some of the time, where we choose to be quiet. I'm sure you're in a crowded room, or you're in a circumstance, a situation, and it's bad enough being me, let alone a Christian me. It's bad enough being in this place, let alone telling everybody what my faith is. It's bad enough understanding the lot that God's given me. I don't need to put my hand in the ring. But there's times where we do. And Paul got to that stage where he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation. And that's something that I want us to know today. If you don't understand or hear anything I say other than that, the gospel is the power of God. And the power of God lives in us. And that means he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. That means the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And this is a message we're cheerleaders one for another. This is a message that will say, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know what? There are times I suggest that we might start when we pray in the world, in a human sense. Right? We go, Lord, I don't know how this is going to end up, but I'm going to start with you. Lord, I come before your throne of grace. And as we start to pray, God starts to bring back to remembrance the things that we've read about him, the things that we've heard about him. When you read about Paul, when he's in prison with Silas, what I find astonishing about that portion of Scripture is there he is being persecuted and maligned and beaten, and he's in the inner cell in the darkest of the dark place of life. And what does he do? He starts to praise, and he starts to pray, and he starts to worship. My goodness, what we have to learn, because he understood that this salvation that he preached was the power of God. The power of God lived in him. So I'm just going to simply read one or two scriptures to us this morning and hope that we can glean something through us. Regarding his son and the earthly life, in verse 4, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's something that we can say today, isn't it? He's our Lord. We don't have to go, the God that you serve, it's the God that we serve. I want to remind us this morning, he's our God. He's our Saviour. He's our resurrection. It says, appointed Son of God by the power of his resurrection. You see, if he stayed dead, he would be a dead God. When we look through scripture, when we look through different books and different religions around the world, we know this, but I'm going to say it. Did you know that Christ Jesus is the only saviour that is alive today? Every other god, deity that the world preaches is dead. And the Bible says because he lives, we also live. That's good news, isn't it? And it amazes me that when we share the gospel in the way we live, when we share the gospel, when we speak about God's word, the world around us that Paul so eloquently speaks to can easily believe in a dead deity, but they don't want to believe in a live one. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because when you acknowledge that Jesus is alive, you have to acknowledge that he died for a reason. And he died because we're sinners. You see, when we speak about equality, it's a great leveller, isn't it? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as a young Christian, I used to battle with the way people thought about me. I used to battle with what people might think about me in circumstances and situations that I found myself in. How will they react to me? And so often I found that people thought that I thought that I was better than them. And I used to say, no, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a wretched man. But praise be to God, he's lavished his love upon me and he can lavish his love upon you. That's the power of the gospel. Doesn't matter how far you go down, God will lift you up. That's the power of the gospel. Doesn't matter what you think. It's about what he has done, not what you can do. That's the power of the gospel. You see, words are powerful. There is something that I'm sure you was brought up with this as well as me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. Well, that's not true, is it? Because words do harm us. When someone says, you can't do that, there's a part of us that might think we can't. That's why the power of God's word, the power of his resurrection, we need to lay hold of. Because if someone says to you, you can't do that, you could say, I can do all things as long as God strengthens me through Christ Jesus. As long as I don't do it in my strength, but I rely on his strength. God's gifted us with different abilities. He's gifted me with a singing voice. Well, maybe he hasn't gifted me with a singing voice, but he's gifted me with a loud voice. He's gifted Nigel with a singing voice and subtlety. But he hasn't gifted me with a singing voice, but he has gifted me. If I got fixated on the things I couldn't do, then I wouldn't do anything, would I? And that's the same as us, I believe, as Christians. If we don't believe that the gospel is powerful, we won't speak it. Because we'll do it in our own strength and we'll say things like, yeah, but I don't know enough about the Bible to share it. Yes, but I'm not eloquent. Yes, but I'm not anointed. Whatever that means. Yes, but can we agree that Jesus is who he says he is? Yeah? Can we agree that the Bible is the inspired word of God? Can we believe what the Bible says about us? Can we believe that when we speak about this resurrection, when we speak about the gospel, it is the power of God that brings salvation? It's not our words of eloquence. Paul says it like this. He says, I come not with words of eloquence, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Yes? So when we speak about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's powerful in itself. Through him, we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith from his name, for his name's sake. See, we do what we do because God loved us. We can love others. God saved us. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Salvation, what's God saving us from? He's saving us from an eternal damnation, isn't he? Good news, isn't it? Yes? So that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we fear no evil. Why? Because he's there with us. We know that when we cut, we bleed. When we are hit, we bruise. When we stumble and fall, we may break something. But we are not broken people. We are people that have been knitted together. In our mother's womb, we were knitted together. God has a plan and a purpose for us, and it's not just this. This is but a vapor, the Bible says. This is but a whisper. There is an eternal life. Now, we shouldn't live our lives just in the temporary, and we shouldn't live our lives just in the eternal. We should live our lives as if Christ is coming back today. We should live our lives full of faith, knowing that because he rose from the dead, we will also rise from the dead. We don't have to wait for the funeral service, do we? For someone to say about us, he or she, they were a good person, a faithful person, and because of what the Bible says, they will go to an eternal resting place. We don't have to wait for our funerals for someone to say that about us. I know that sounds very drab, but we know it now. Because he lives, we live. Because he rose from the dead, we've risen from the dead. You see, the Bible puts it like this: once we were dead in our transgressions and sins, now we are made alive with him through the resurrection of his Son. Through grace, a gift. Through faith, believing in that gift was for me. Through obedience, walking in the light of the love of the Lord. Through him, we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. Remember what Paul said as we go through this scripture: I'm not ashamed. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So we preach or we listen to this message for ourselves, but it's also for our neighbours and our friends. To all in Rome, he wanted to go so desperately to minister in Rome. And eventually, as you know through scripture, he did go, but not the way he thought he would go. We don't want a prophet to come to us and say, you're going to be bound and you're going to be led. But that's what happened to Paul. He went to Rome. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. He's talking to the Christians in Rome. And if you think about Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, there was a violent wind, in the sense there was a shaking, there was a vibration, there was an infilling of the Holy Spirit, yes? There was something that happened so that when they started to preach, all of a sudden things started to happen. That's why I say to you, you don't need to be an individual that sits and just waits for something to fall upon you. By faith, you've already received it. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. But here they are. And they go out, and then when they start to preach, thousands upon thousands start to respond. What was the difference? What was the difference between yesterday and today? The Spirit of God. When you look through scripture that talks about the valley of the dry bones, you're familiar with that story? It says, see, I see a valley full of dry bones. Full of dead men, in other words. And I started to prophesy. Bones come alive. And sinew and muscle started to come. What was the difference between the dry bones and the living bones? Well, it was the ruach, the breath of God. God breathed upon those bones and they came into life. We were once dead and God breathed upon us and we became alive. It's the breath of God. It's the power of God. And Paul was speaking to Christians who had received forgiveness. And the church was starting to establish. The church was starting to manifest. The church was starting to explode. And he wanted to go and encourage them. So it doesn't matter where you are and when you speak. The gospel is the power of God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he's not in a good place when he's writing this. Paul's longing to visit Rome. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. I mean, just look at what he does here. He thanks God through Jesus Christ. We can experience that same attitude, I suggest, that when we bring someone towards before the Lord, We bring someone in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this person. Lord, I thank you. And if they're a Christian, Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, I thank you that you have your hand upon them. Lord, I thank you. Through Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that you manifest your grace. You see, we don't have to do it in our name because we can't save anyone, can we? It's not through the name of, and you put your name there. It's not you. It's Christ in you. And that takes away all of, may I suggest, all of the responsibility other than we just open our mouths. I remember some years ago, and I won't go into the story today, but there was a friend of mine who had prematurely died in an accident. He was on his motorbike and he was no more. And the Lord spoke to me, I believe, and said, you don't need to accept this. And I thought, well, I'm going to pray then. And just to let you know the end of the story, he is still not alive. However, what I learned through that experience, what I learned through the things that I believed that God had led me to, what I learned by going down to a not a very nice subject, a crematorium, not a crematorium to see a body in the hospital, the mortuary, what I learned through it was this: I can't heal anybody. Only God can. But here's a thought. If you are his hands, and you are his feet, and you are his pockets, and you are his voice, then we have a responsibility to simply speak. And if we speak out his word, knowing that is the power for salvation, then we'll understand that when we say things like Christ in us, that we'll truly start to believe it. Because I suggest, through the walk that God has given me, through the privilege of serving people, through the privilege of watching someone's journey, there are times in Christians' lives where the enemy, not God, but the enemy comes in and say, you can't do that because... Why do you think you can speak into this situation? Because you. And what happens is we start to look at ourselves, and quite rightly we see our inadequacies. But if we start to look at ourselves the way that God looks at us through the eyes of his son Jesus Christ, remember what scripture says. It talks about we have an enemy that will convict us on a daily basis. We have an enemy that will put charge against us and say, guilty, guilty, guilty. And we have an advocate, the Bible says, that says, innocent, innocent, innocent. Yes? But there's times, I suggest, that some people, of course, no, none of us here today, but some people, Christians, they start to believe the lie of the enemy. Why? Glad you asked. Because we struggle to believe that we are who God's called us to be. Because we know our own imperfections. We know the things that we do behind closed doors. We know, Susan's not here, good. When we were young Christians, just before we was leaving with our three kids to go to church, she'd go around shutting the windows so the neighbours couldn't hear us. Because we know that we're human. We know that there's things that happen just as you're about to walk out the door, to get in the car, to go to church, to sing the songs, to listen to the scriptures, to say hallelujah, and we've just had this meltdown. See, we know that. So when the enemy comes along and says something negative to us, we find it easy to take on board. And what we don't find easy is to see ourselves the way God does. You see, those that have children, and those that have nephews and nieces, those that have family members with children, if you don't have them of yourself, those that have neighbours with children, there are times that they will do childish things, and you won't hold it against them. Could you imagine little Johnny at the age of 3, and then he's at the age of 30, and he says, why don't you talk to me? Because when you was 3, you threw that ball at my window. You don't do that, do you? So why don't we take it on board when the enemy comes along and says, when you did that, when you sinned in that way, and you go, yeah, I'm a sinner. But we're saved by grace. And I'm not being flippant here. It's a message I want us to get through. Because if we are going to walk in the way that God wants us to walk, we need to understand what the gospel really means. And it's the power for salvation. Salvation is nothing broken, nothing missing. It's the perfection. And we don't get it until we're in glory. But we are going from glory to glory, the Bible says. That means, you know, as John, I think, it preached, he said, less of me and more of you. And if there's more of him, then there's less of you. Yeah? So this gospel on this Pentecost day is the power to salvation. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. And that's what we should do. For all of you. Because your faith is being reported all over the world. Do you know that when you pray, things happen? When someone else prays, things happen. Can you imagine if we... just imagine this. That there's a building on the way to King's Lynn. That's a church building. And instead of having multiple denominations of this particular church, they all meet together in one building. I don't know how many people there are, but could you imagine if there was one building... and all the Christians around Down and Market, King's Lynn, surrounding areas, worshipped in that one building. Can you imagine the noise that would come from the pastors arguing with each other, who's going to be boss? No, from the worship. That's where it don't happen, isn't it? Because it's humanness. From the worship, could you imagine the influence we would have? Could you imagine how the word would go out and manifest upon people's lives? Because suddenly, because of the size of the crowd, people will be attracted. But it's not the size of the crowd that will do anything, it's the gospel message. That's why when they stood up on the day of Pentecost, when they started to preach, it was because of the power of God. That's what made the difference. So I want to encourage us today, in these few minutes that we have, just to say we are who God says we are. You are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do as long as you do it in his strength and not in your strength. You do it in your strength, you will fail. You do it in his strength, you can't fail. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that when his word goes out, it will accomplish something. So when you pray for your neighbour, something's happening. When you pray for your school, something's happening. When you pray for your government, something's happening. When you pray for your friends, something is happening. When you pray for yourselves, something is happening. You see, we can pray for ourselves. We can say, Lord, as David did, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. That tells God that we know that we are like earthen pots. We are clay pots that may be a bit cracked and we leak. And we know that he is the potter and we are the clay as we come before him. But we can't do any of that unless we understand that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that's his word. That's the message. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of your faith. So let's encourage, let's pray for each other. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son. The gospel of his Son. Witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. Using this backdrop, this portion of scripture as a backdrop, there may be something that you're praying for and the way is not open. But when you start to see that way open, start to pray into it. Just imagine your prayer as a wedge, and the more you pray, the further it goes. The more you pray, the further it goes, till eventually that way opens up. Maybe you're praying for a family member and that opens up. Maybe there's a disaster in their life and there's an opportunity that's opened up. Maybe there's someone who's sick and they say there's no hope. There's a way in. It opens up. It opens up for the power of the gospel, I suggest, to come in and manifest. I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. You see, God gives gifts to the church. He gives gifts to the church. He brings gifts in your family. You are a gift to your family. You're a gift. They might not see that. They might not agree with you, but you're a gift. Why? Because you're a Christian. Because all the power of God's manifested in you. Me? Yes, the Bible says if you want wisdom, ask for it. God has blessed you so you can be a blessing. You are a gift to your family. You're a gift to your community. There are times, you know, where you pray for something and something happens. That's a great coincidence, isn't it? That's like someone said to me once, my husband is really lucky. The harder he works, the luckier he gets. He gets what he gets because of hard work. You see, we are blessed because we trust God. We are blessed because we understand who we are. But my message today is for us to accept that we are who God says we are. And there's times where we'll wonder about what it says in Genesis. We'll wonder about what it says in Revelation. But if you're a child of God, then you don't need to wonder where your power comes from. It comes from within. It comes from the Spirit of truth. So let's be encouraged. Paul says in 12, that is, that you and I may mutually be encouraged by each other's faith. So look at that portion of scripture in just the simplicity of what it is. Here's Paul. Now imagine who he is within the kingdom principle. He's a mighty apostle. You think of somebody who you respect in the kingdom. Somebody who when they preach, they command a presence. Think of somebody that you've longed to see in the flesh and go, wow, if that person comes to the UK, I'm going to go and listen to him. Just imagine that person. Do you know what their job is? This mighty man or woman of God, this person that seems to be anointed, do you know what their job is? To encourage you. And your job is to encourage them. You see, there's no difference. There's no hierarchy in the kingdom. Yes, God gives gifts. Some apostles, some pastors, some teachers, some workers of miracles. But do you know why? For works of service. You see, we should change the title, shouldn't it? I read on our welcome packet, says, Pastor Andrew has been pastor of this church since 2006. You can imagine, next week he's changed it. He's gone, Andrew is our chief foot washer. Doesn't have the same ring, does it? Andrew is our chief foot washer. But when you read God's word, when you realise the power of the gospel, you'll understand that's what we are. We're there to serve others, but not in our strength, in his strength. So my encouragement today is that you'll be strengthened through his word. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you. And there are times that we plan something, we work something out, and it just doesn't happen. Paul didn't give up though, did he? So don't give up. Be of good cheer. Keep persevering. It goes on to say, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. I want to preach the gospel to you because it is the power of salvation. He knew that when he spoke God's word, there would be something that would happen. I am obliged both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. This is where equality comes in. I'm obliged, he said, to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. He pours out his heart and then he says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. So he's gone through some of his story. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First the Jew, then the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. We are righteous because of his righteousness, aren't we? You see, the gospel says that we have all gone astray. We've all done our own thing. That we're dead in our sins and trespasses. That there's no one righteous, no, not one. That's what the Bible teaches us, and that's what we know in our own hearts. But then God comes along through the power of the gospel. That there's a time in our lives that we heard the gospel, the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ. And he came and he made his residence with us. And all of a sudden we could see that we had a righteousness, not because of what we've done, but because of putting our faith in what he has done. Yes, this is a message. It's almost like teaching you how to suck eggs as such. You've been there, done that. But it's a message that is powerful. So it doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. I think it's good to be reminded of who you are. You're a child of God. And what God says about you, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Does it mean you don't get things wrong? Of course it doesn't. Does it mean that you don't sin, you don't stumble and fall? Of course it doesn't. You see, sin simply means to miss the mark, and we all miss the mark, don't we? That's why we need a saviour, because we know we're sinful. But we don't live in that place. I hope you don't get up in the mornings going, I am such a wretch. I am such an awful sinful woman, an awful sinful man. I hope you don't do that. I hope you get up in the morning saying, Lord, I might stumble and fall, but you pick me up. Lord, I might get it wrong, but I repent and you choose to forgive me. Lord, I can be all that you've called me to be. Help me, strengthen me, encourage me, enlarge me, that I may see the power that comes from the gospel, the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wants to preach that. He knows most things in that day and age. He was a scholar. He goes on to say, you want to boast? I boast more. You want to say what your credentials are? A Jew. A Pharisee. As far as the law is concerned, he says, faultless. As far as persecuting the church, I was zealous. But he goes on to say this, I count all that as garbage, like filthy rags, compared to knowing God. Knowing God. And that word knowing is to have that intimacy, that relationship. I'm actually going to... that's one of my many scriptures that I have for you. So I'm not going to go, am I? I'm not going to get there. But I'll continue just to read this portion of scripture because we've started. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. You see, Paul is not afraid to speak the truth either, is he? He's not afraid to say a spade is a spade. Sin is sin. I've tried over the years not to be a political preacher, and it's difficult because we see things around us and it's difficult not to have a pulpit opinion about that. But if we stick to facts, we stick to scripture, we can say that we've seen wickedness all around us. We can say that there's a people that take the truth and they call it a lie. And there's people who take the lie and they call it a truth. We can see that all around us. All around us. And Paul's not afraid to say it as it is, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the worlds, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. I know for me in my life, before I confessed this sin in my life, which I didn't understand, before I knew what it was to be a Christian, I first had to know what it was to be a sinner. Because I said this to my next door neighbour, who was a very nice man, is a very nice man, elder of the church. I became born again, and I said to him, yeah, but Tim, I'm a good person, I do the occasional bad. He said, well, you're not, you're a bad person doing the occasional good. Well, that sucks, but that's the truth, isn't it? He wasn't afraid to preach the gospel. And the gospel is about revealing our sin as well as revealing our Saviour. Since what has been known, and when we look around us, just picture yourself. Just look at the world around us in the simplicity. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I can do this and be amazed. And I'm thinking of something else at the same time. And I can do this at the same time as doing this. It's amazing, isn't it? Just think about the components in an eye. And to be able to see cannot be because of evolution, because we wouldn't have been able to see, and then suddenly we can. It was given in one piece. When we look at the way the wind blows, when we look at the way the sun shines, when we look at the way the waters rise and fall, when we look at the way of cause and effect, surely we have to get to a position where we go, there's something bigger than us. See, when Paul says it was there from the beginning, that's what he meant. Everywhere you looked was the fingerprint of God. And he was preaching that to those around him. He was saying, you might think this, but there's something bigger than you. You without excuse. It talks about his eternal power, his divine nature, being clearly seen, being understood from what was made. In verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile.